really want to express our great love for you and our thanks for your support of SOS Ministries and the work we're doing in Uganda and East Africa. We are so grateful for this opportunity to share. And maybe some of you, how many of you were here last time we shared? Okay. Actually, you were. My kids were sick, actually, when we shared Sunday school last time. But they did come. They did come and visit right before we left. So we're really delighted. Just give you a little update. It's been 1 year and 10 months now since we left in August 2016 to serve with Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries in Uganda, East Africa. A little bit about our story. It kind of started in August of 2014 when we went with a small team from our church Believers Fellowship over on the northeast side of town. And we just served in whatever way we could and tried to encourage our missionaries. And we thought it would be the first of many missionary visits. But at the end of that trip, we were challenged by Shannon and Danielle Early to consider a verse from James 4, which reminds us that our life is a vapor. And they asked, how are you going to use this vapor of a life God's given you? We were shocked, to say the least. It wasn't anywhere on our radar. I just finished grad school and was happily just serving as a physical therapist. But as we headed home, we committed to pray about that decision. And over the next 2 months, we started to see God affirming in big and small ways that he was calling us to serve as missionaries in Uganda. After praying for 2 months and seeking godly counsel, we saw that God truly was calling us to serve there. We also started to see that not everyone is called to go, like the church in Acts. Some were called to go, and others were called to send. And so, never more than today have I started to gain an understanding of how important it is for all of God's church to be involved in the mission call. And so, the Great Commission verses of Matthew and other areas of the Bible, Psalm 67, right? Let the nations praise you, start to come alive in other ways. And so we ended up answering that call with a big yes, and we went. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about SOS Ministries. Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries derives its name from this verse in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where it says that all of God's Word is sufficient. Right? And it's sufficient for everything in life. It's not just sufficient in and of itself. It's sufficient to be applied to every area of life. It's meant to be lived out, and it's meant to transform us. Right? So our missionary team is composed of four families. In addition to ours, we have our team leaders in the Hurley family. Some of you may know or have heard Shannon Hurley speak. He's been in Uganda for over 12 years. And in the area where we minister, we've been there about 10 years now, in that part of Uganda. The Cup family joined them about 6 years ago, and the Basabas arrived about 3 months before us, a couple of years ago. This is the picture of our senior staff. I think the big picture here is to show you that it's about Africans leading here, and without our Ugandan team, we couldn't do what we're doing. And these are people who have shown and are showing increased faithfulness and transformation in their lives. The gospel is alive in them, and they're able to faithfully serve. We basically divide our senior staff into our ministry and our support staff. Moscow will be my principal at Shepherd's Training Center, which I'll talk a little more in depth about. And then, as you can see, it's a mix of missionaries like Anthony and then other Native Ugandans as well. Our support team staff, I primarily work with these three gentlemen over here. overseeing a lot of the administrative, HR, and groundskeeping. These guys have really helped me focus more on curriculum preparation and the year ahead. Our vision is to see Christ reigning through His Word in the lives of all people. And every missionary should have a mission, right? So ask your missionaries, what's your mission? Our mission is to strengthen God's church and also to disciple our local community in the village of Kubamitue and the surrounding villages there. So how do we accomplish our mission? Well, primarily, it's through the local church. Jesus said that He would build His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, right? So we need to be about what Christ is about. And He lived, died, rose again for His church, and that's what we're about. All of our ministry flows out of the local church there in Kubamitue. Our church is called Community Bible Church of Kubamitue. And we're not just about our local community, but the entire the church at large in Uganda. So our church strengthening department focuses on encouraging churches all around Uganda, and it's through our church strengthening department that we've been able to host regional conferences for about 10 years now, all over Uganda. And this is a picture of our biblical counseling training conference with an organization called Overseas Counseling and Overseas Instruction in Counseling. It seeks to bring counseling training to areas where they don't have a certification process or access to that kind of training. Community outreach serves our local community primarily, and this is a picture of a women's Bible study here, and that's really at the core. Through these Bible studies, God's Word goes out into our villages, but community outreach is kind of the love arm of the truth and love that we seek to bring in the name of Jesus Christ, and so it seeks to meet very practical and urgent needs, such as emergency health care. We just don't have access to that type of thing. There's no ambulances where we are, and another community development project, and just things to bring the community together, like soccer tournaments and bike races, and things like that. Legacy Christian Academy is a primary school. It's unlike most schools in Uganda, it's not a boarding school, so people can't board their students there, and it's exclusive to people in our village and our target area of ministry. So which has caused some consternation. But right now we're at grade 5. We look to go up to grade 7 in the primary school, and then, Lord willing, build our secondary school campus for high school. All right. Shepherd's Training Center. This is what gets me excited. I believe this is what God's called me to do in Uganda, and that is to develop a pastoral training center to reach and train and develop pastors all over the nation of Uganda. We've done regional conferences, we've hosted biblical counseling conferences, and as helpful and effective as those may have been and have been, we recognize, and Shannon, with his experience in Uganda, has seen an in-residence training campus is necessary. And so that's why we built Shepherd's Training Center. That's why we look to have our grand opening in November 9th of this year, and then we'll start classes in, Lord willing, January 2019. It's a three-phase, four-year program. First phase is our discipleship phase, where we really lay the foundation for the gospel. Though most of our pastors will be nominated from their regional overseers, we don't know for sure what they're bringing to the table. So discipleship phase is also a vetting process. It's not only instructing them in the foundation of the Christian faith, but also seeing what kind of commitment they have to this process and to this training as well. Phase 2 is the school biblical studies that will go on for 2 years, and that's just going book by book, verse by verse, building on the foundation of hermeneutics and the introductory classes of discipleship phase, and that's a 2-year in residence, that's with family. So discipleship phase is more kind of a two-semester boot camp, and the biblical training phase is in-depth families on campus living with the SOS family, SOS community, and seeing what it's like in our church to live and serve, but also learning with other pastors. Finally, the School of Pastoral Ministry is the fourth year and the third phase of this program, and that's teaching these men to really care for their flocks instead of seeing what they can get out of them, as most pastors do. I'd like to share this video with you, which has been done, I think very well done, but just giving you a vision for the school, Shepherd's Training Center.
Through church history, we can celebrate the kingdom expansion from the mustard seed of the disciples to the maturity of the church throughout Asia Minor, Europe, and America. We can stand in awe of God as we look at the triumphant milestones throughout church history. But the church cannot just stop and reminisce of the great days gone by. We all must ask ourselves, what is God doing now? Our hearts must cry over the dark places of the world where God's church has never been established. And we must rise up and fortify the church where God is moving to display His name. Today, throughout my home in Africa, God is working in inconceivable ways. If we go back just less than 100 years, most of my people would have been steeped in worship of false gods and witchcraft. Today, less than one century later, over 80% of our population claim to be Christians. The name of Jesus Christ is now on the lips of almost every African tongue. God is obviously doing something remarkable, something miraculous. We believe as a ministry, we must support what God is doing, because we believe that the last chapter of church history will be told from the red soils of Africa. But how can one organization make a national impact for God's kingdom that will be felt for generations? By fully equipping God-fearing pastors and planting them into strategic towns throughout East Africa. This is the goal of Shepherd's Training Center.
The Shepherd's Training Center is a four-year, three-phase residential discipleship training center. The first phase is our School of Discipleship. It's 1 year, and in that year, we seek to establish each student in a deep experiential knowledge of both the gospel and Christian living. Our second phase is our 2 year School of Biblical Studies. In this school, we seek to establish each student in a comprehensive understanding of the Bible, expository preaching, and biblical counseling. Phase three is our 1 year School of Pastoral Studies. In this school, we seek to establish each student in theology and with practical skills that will enable them to be effective in their caring for God's most prized possession, the church.
We believe Shepherd's Training Center will set the foundation for a massive church planting and strengthening effort that will establish Christ proclaiming God exalting church throughout East Africa. We believe this strategy will enable God's church to be deeply rooted, God's gospel fully comprehended, and God's people to be completely transformed. We believe this strategy will help write the final pages of God's story of His church.
All right, so that's a brief overview of our ministry. In this next part of the presentation, I just want to focus a little bit more personally on how we've done over the past 2 years, and really, it's really a story of God continuing to show us His faithfulness and our great need of Him. We couldn't have made it through these first 2 years, I don't think, without the I know for sure. I know for sure without the prayers and support of God's people here. And most of our supporters are right here in San Antonio, something we prayed for and something that God had rapidly answered. And so we're so thankful for what God has done through you. He's been our steadfast hope and our stay throughout our time in Africa. And though it hasn't been easy, God has been faithful. So we're eternally grateful for Him. So I'll start with youngest, Adelaide. Really has done an awesome job adjusting to African life, especially in Uganda. As you can see, she's doing what she loves to do, and that's loving on little babies. And she's even preparing food there the Ugandan way, a nice sharp knife, and a root vegetable. even doing laundry Ugandan ways. She's at the encouragement of other missionary kids. She started a Bible study for kids in our target village of Nachiju, and she's really bold and passionate, and she has a boldness that is really disarming for a lot of Ugandan adults most of whom don't really cherish kids or see them as valuable human beings. So, anything else you'd add? No? Okay. She's very, yes, well loved. Okay. This is Emerson. Okay, some of you may have heard the story of Emerson falling from a tree, and so we got him back from the dead, in a sense. As you see, he likes to do dangerous things with his buddy Nate. He's another missionary kid there, and usually it involves animals as well. So there's a chameleon there that he's holding, and there's a little fledgling weaver up there. But we like to say you can take the boy out of the jungle, but you can't keep the jungle out of the boy. So we have had to call him down from some road signs and ask him to stay on the ground a bit. I think he's the one who misses the jungle the most of all of us. but Emerson really enjoys Uganda and all its wildlife and foliage. This is Aiden, our oldest. And though he's had probably the hardest transition, I think he has brought some of the greatest joy to our family in just his commitment to his work and his encouragement of the rest of the family. We really see him as a huge blessing. And the picture of him with a bunch of other missionary guys and their friends and family is a real testimony to God's goodness to develop friendships and sustain those friendships despite all the challenges that friendships bring, right? He's jumped right in. Bosco, our worship leader and the principal of Shepherd Training Center, has even given him opportunities to serve with the worship team. So we're thankful for that. All right, Caroline, who is our children's teacher as homeschool mom, she really loves her life in Uganda. She loves to guide and teach and love our children throughout the day. There are some challenges. There are some differences in the way we get food and prepare it, even. But those are kind of the easy challenges. One of the greatest joys to come into Caroline's life this year was when we split our family Bible study into men's and women's, and she began leading a women's study in our in a village. Our elders asked us to try to start Bible studies in, and that's the village of Nachiju. And as you can see, there she is, sitting on mats laid on top of a tarp out in front of the host family's house there. And the women's group just grows exponentially, just keeps growing, and they've had unique opportunities to serve and care for people in that village as well. That's been a huge blessing in her life. If you want, please, I'd encourage you, ask her about it, ask her about Romans, and the joy that she gets from teaching from that book. All right, Francis. Oh yeah, that's me. So it hasn't been easy for me, probably because I'm part border collie, and I'm usually running around trying to do a bit of everything. But I too have derived great joy from teaching men's study. This is a picture. It was one of the reasons why we split was we saw many women coming to our family Bible study, few men, and from our target village, most of these guys are the core. Really, the Mazay, the older gentleman on the right, he is the only one truly from that village of Nachiju. Some of these guys are from neighboring villages, but so we set out to try to reach more men in this village, and God is slowly answering that prayer. But with the guy in the middle there is my translator, Austin. God is starting to bless that study. We even have an opportunity to meet at a Muslim man's home and share the gospel and read God's word with him there. I've also had opportunities, the elders allowed me to teach Sunday school and start developing my curriculum for Shepherd Training Center. There I'm kind of doing some tech stuff, but also working with these guys who are leading worship and part of the translation team. I'm just so thankful for the team that God's given us and how He's brought people uniquely gifted to come and share their gifts and serve the body of Christ in that way. I'm super excited about Shepherd's Training Center. Bosco there, who's also our church worship leader, will be leading Shepherd's Training Center. He's a godly man, just finished at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and really understands. He says, God is the point, and we're just pointers pointing to Him. And his heart of worship and his leadership, his understanding, not just of Ugandan and African culture, but of even American culture, I think helps us as a team work together. And so I'm really grateful for that. Okay, a little bit more about the people we work with. This is in our village Bible study back when it was still a family Bible study. And a bit about our translator. So I'll start talking about Austin, and I'll let Caroline come up and share some as well. So Austin and Esther are actually primary school teachers in Legacy Christian Academy. They've been discipled and brought up in SOS ministries well before we got there, and they're just a great testimony of God's faithfulness and God's work in this little village. Austin came from this village, was raised in this village, and is the first villager to graduate from high school and university, and now he's a teacher there. He has a true heart for ministry. He's extremely humble, despite all his experience, and I couldn't do my Bible study without him, so I'm thankful that the elders placed him and his wife with us. You want to share something about Esther, Caroline?
So Esther is just a treasure, and I'm so thankful for her. She's a really godly woman, and it's not easy to come across a couple who loves the Lord so well and serves so humbly. So we're super thankful for them. I couldn't do my Bible study without Esther, but I was sharing that with her the other day, and she's actually teaching for me while I'm here. And she said, "But I've learned so much from you, and so we need each other." And I was just excited that we can work side by side and share the joy of serving the Lord together. She's probably my dearest Ugandan friend, and it's one of the ways that I think God has been gracious to me is she So in Uganda, people don't really celebrate birthdays or mostly, and so Esther, so I told my Bible study ladies I would bring them cake because they love cake, and I told them I would bring them cake for my birthday, and they were super excited about that. But Esther, she slides this envelope over to me, and she said, "This is for you," which is just unheard of. So she crossed over to my culture to love me on my birthday, and she made some little earrings for me and wrote a really sweet card. And so that was right before we left, and I just felt like that was significant in the fact that we're always giving to
even the language.
So I'm going to share about this because it's a huge part of my life. But so we have a housekeeper. It's kind of expected for to get the house clean and not having time to do what we needed to do. So I was hesitant to hire a maid because it comes with a lot more than just a clean house. It comes with an entire family and all their problems and all their joys and sorrows. And so if her kids are sick, they come to work with her, and we get sick. We share everything. And so she has four kids. This is her youngest, so he's at our house every time she works for me, which is 4 days a week. And so I actually spend a lot of time babysitting, and so she can do her work. But we see it as an opportunity to just love on her kids. And many Ugandans don't love their kids. They don't pay any much attention to them. In fact, she would often leave him at his house by himself napping, and he would wake up screaming and just roaming around the campus. And I had to encourage her, please bring him, just bring him. And so he eats popcorn with Aiden every day for snack time, and so it's been fun for us. But but this is her family. Her husband, Mugalu, Francis disciples him, I disciple her. So every day she works for me. We, at the end of the day, we sit down and have Bible study. So it's been one of my greatest investments in Uganda, and we walk through a lot of hardships with them. Their relationship has not been healthy or good, and so we've been counseling them in marriage counseling, even though they're not married, which would describe most of the couples in our church. So it's a unique problem. I think we see people not married and living together and having kids maybe outside the church, but our church is full of couples like that. So we're hoping that they'll get married soon. And the oldest of their kids is Adelaide's best friend. Her name's Miriam, and she translates for Adelaide's Bible study. So they're a huge part of our life. We couldn't really give you an update without sharing about this family. So Jari and Mugalu and their kids, and it's been a joy, and it's been some of our greatest sorrow to walk with them. So even leaving to come back here was hard because we are so invested in their life, and we see it now as an opportunity to trust the Lord with them and just that He will continue the work that He's begun. So, and it's a funny story, but as we were doing some marriage counseling, we wanted to see, Ugandan couples don't tend to do things together or know each other, and so we gave some homework and asked them to just check the things that they do together. And so she checked practicing hospitality, and he left it blank. So we were like, you're saying that you do this together. You're saying you don't do it at all. And he said, well, I didn't know what it was, so I couldn't check it. And he said, I don't think she knows what it is either. And he asks her, and she said, well, she thought it was, that, do they go to the hospital together? Which you have to, because there's that you have to bring someone with you when you get sick to care for you and make your food. And so we explained what practicing hospitality was. And so months later, right before we left, she invited us to come. In fact, the way she told me, she was cleaning at my house, and she said, "On Friday, I'm cooking your dinner." And I was like, "Oh." So that was her way of inviting us. And so we cleared our Friday schedule to be there, and Adelaide helped cook. And so it was fun just to see her starting. I mean, that's one aspect of hospitality, but it's just an exciting thing for us to be a part of their lives and just see God at work.
All right, I'd like to share with you just some ways that you can get involved or continue to stay involved with Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries and the work that we're doing in Uganda. Number one, as they say, it's the least you can do and the best you can do in many ways, right, is to continue to pray with and for us as we seek to bring God's Word into the lives of people in Uganda. Also, just want to encourage people to give sacrificially to help open Shepherd's Training Center and to keep it open. And also to stay connected with us through our updates and through Facebook or however, whatever is the best way for you. Ways you can pray specifically is for God to supply faithful African leaders for Shepherd's Training Center. This is probably one of the great, this is probably the greatest need. There's books published that affirm that as well. Operation World says the greatest need in Africa is godly leadership. This idea of, as they say in Uganda, Omukulu, the big chief, is an attitude and very pervasive. The idea of a servant leader or someone who loves his wife and serves his family is very foreign. And so we're praying that God will provide godly leadership, godly, faithful men and women to lead. For our prospective students, as applications roll in this summer, just pray that our admissions team and those who are managing those exercise discernment, that we can find godly, faithful, or those with potential, and that even in what we don't know, that God would provide for us faithful future pastors and leaders in Uganda. For all the logistic and administrative challenges associated with opening Shepherd's Training Center, we're still hurdling the different Ministry of Education, things necessary to get a provisional license and to begin the accreditation process. So we could use that. And then we have a goal. Find 10 churches who are willing to support specifically Shepherd's Training Center at $1,000 a month. Finally, as Psalm 115:1 says, it's not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name we give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And just reminds us of, as Spurgeon says, our indebtedness to all the attributes of God, but his steadfast love and faithfulness have buoyed us, have kept us alive and well in Uganda, and have guided us safely here so that we can report back on God's goodness and his grace to us. So thank you so much, and we thank the Lord for each and every one of you and your faithfulness to pray for us and to support us in whatever way you can. So thank you. I'd like to open it up for any questions, if there are any. Fire away for me, my wife, or even my children, except my daughter.
She'll
be right back. So any questions? This is open to anyone, even Elanders, like anyone. So. Yes?
I know you mentioned that there was more women than men trying to get women. Could you give us what the number of
Sure, yeah. So I think the pictures tell it pretty well. So there's six. We have about 7 to 8 normally in our men's study. And we continue to extend that invitation as we really we're riding bikes, and then there's a big long hill, and so we're usually walking up the hill. And we'll see village men there, and so we'll invite them. We've also made contact with the LC, which is the local chairman, and he's kind of the leader of that village, and so he too has offered to host a Bible study there. So we look to try that out, and actually Austin's trying that as we're away too, to meet there, and with the local leadership endorsement, that should also bring some too. But so that's the size of our men's group. The women's, here there's about 12 in this picture, but it can swell at times.
I'd say 12 to 25.
Between 12 to 25. So chocolate cake helps, but yes.
Can you explain just a little bit? This is just a study that the two of you both are help leading. But there's multiple little communities with different people in the church are all doing the same type of thing.
Yes. Yeah. So Kuba Mitwe is where SOS campus is, but there's about 10 or 11 villages that are part of our what we call the target area. So it's probably a 3-mile radius of about 600 families. So upwards of about 3,000 people. So we've got about 300 in our in our church that come and attend our church from that target area. And many of those are children. Maybe close to half, maybe.
Well, half of the population of Uganda is children.
Yeah, 50% of all of Uganda's
15 and under.
Yeah, of all of Uganda's population is 15 and under. So Adelaide's starting a Bible study is very strategic. To make sure you didn't miss that. Important demographic.
I love that Bosco says that the children, they're not the church of tomorrow, but the church.
Yeah, Bosco Andama, he says that the children are not the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. And it's important we think that way. And recognizing that Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So let's obey that command. Simeon, you had a question? Comment? Stretch? Yes, ma'am.
Give me an idea of the format of your Bible study. Is it just speaking, or do you write out things, or have them write out things? Or,
I'll stand over here. So the question is, what's the format of my Bible study? So we're just walking through Romans, so which is really exciting for me, because more than anything, I need to remember the gospel, and Romans is all about the gospel, so we just, I prepare on a certain number of verses, and so far we've made it through Romans 2, and we started in February, so we haven't been going very long, but I prepare something, I teach it, it gets translated, and a lot of our women don't write and don't read as, I would say maybe a third of our women read, so it's a very oral culture, and then one of the challenges that I face is that even the educated of Uganda, they're not thinkers. So the way the school system trains students is they do everything by rote memorization. And so they have this process of saying something, and then everyone waits, and then the teacher gives the answer. And so it's almost like they expect them to answer, but then they give it. So when I ask a question, a lot of times they're waiting for the answer, and I'm like, look in the verse, it's right there, and like, it's hard. But I tell them treasure hunting's hard, but it's worth it because you find treasure. So so we're working hard to just dig out truth from God's word and just just really, my goal is that, like Paul said, he wants to impart a spiritual gift to the Romans, and there's a lot of people handing things out in Uganda, but I told him, I want to give you the greatest thing I can give you, and that is the truth of the gospel, because that will transform your life, and you can never be taken away. So that's my goal. I don't know if it's very formulaic, but
yeah, that answer.
Yeah, in fact, this gentleman in my study, the elderly gentleman there, he can't read in his native tongue, but he listens really carefully. And I've started to pick up a word that my translator used, mbuzo, meaning he's really asking the question. Like, he wants you to answer it. And so, because as Caroline said, a lot of times they're just waiting for the answer. And I was stricken. I let Austin teach my last Bible study I attended. And it was interesting to hear. I didn't quite understand exactly, but because I was following along in Luganda Bible, I saw that when the gentleman answered, it was something right from the text. And so he's developing an ear to hear and to go to the text to find the answer. And that was just encouraging, even in one who's basically illiterate. But he's developing that ear. So that was a real joy. Yes, sir. Are we the only Bible study there? Was that the question? Or at SOS? No. Actually, SOS, we have about 10 Bibles, or between, six, probably like 8. We have 8 Bible studies, plus, yes, so there's quite a few. And in fact, our workers have Bible studies as well. So there are 2 guys that I disciple. I kind of work with them, and they are. So, George and Christopher, they lead Bible studies now also for their men.
But not in the villages, but on campus.
In Nanchiju, where the village that we go to, the women's Bible study, the men's Bible study, and the children's Bible study are pretty much the only Bible studies going on there that we're aware of. And so we have people, all kinds of people come. Some people are Catholic, some people are Muslim, but they're just, what's that? An Anglican? Yeah. Pentecostals, yeah. So they're all eager to hear what God's Word says. Great question. Yes. Okay, so 80% was the number. And so that's saying, like, most of the people in Uganda would call themselves Christian. It's kind of like America, right? Most people would say they're Christians, but when you ask them, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's the gospel? You probably get all kinds of different answers. And it's the same in Uganda. I mean, even in Uganda, you'll be driving down the road and you'll see a taxi, and on the back it says, Mukamamunji, which means the Lord is good. We agree with that, right? That sounds like a very Christian thing. We might go to the grocery store in Kampala and hear a Christian song that you might hear on Caleb or something. And you're like, wow, that's great. It's a Christian song. But again, when you ask people, what's the gospel? They have no idea. Or they think it's, well, if I do what God says, then He'll make me rich and healthy and I'll always be happy. Well, that's not really the gospel, right? The gospel is that we, as sinners, deserve death. Because God is a righteous and holy God, and yet He sent His Son, Jesus, to live the perfect life, to die as a sacrifice and payment for our sins, that we might live a holy and righteous life. And so, though many people are open to hear about what God's Word says, and though many people call themselves Christian, many of them have no idea what it really means to be a Christian. And that's why it's so important that we train up men and even and women who know the gospel and are able to teach others and I'm faithful to teach them God's truth all over Uganda. So
we like to say some people are crawling through the 1040 window. That's good. We have an open door on the Ecuador. So it's very open, but people just don't know the gospel, and they don't know Christ, and they aren't living transformed lives for the most part. And so there are very few who are, and they are a treasure, but most people have never been transformed by the gospel.
Questions? We're about, our time is about up. So let me close this in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that all that you promised comes to pass and is coming to pass. Lord, we're so grateful that your church here in America is faithful to obey, specifically here at Redeemer Community Church. Lord, we're thankful that they're seeking to obey your word, and especially not just local but global missions, and bring the gospel to those whose lives have not been transformed. Lord, we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to declare your excellencies, you who call us out of darkness into your glorious light, you who are by degrees transforming us into the image of your Son. And Lord God, that we can testify to your work in the lives of your children, even in East Africa, Uganda. Lord, we pray for faithful men. We're able to teach others who in turn will be faithful with the message of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for the men you've gifted. We thank you for the men you've gifted in this church, Lord, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom would be established here in the hearts of everyone under my voice and under the care of these elders. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to be established in the hearts of your church in Uganda, that it would be strengthened, and that they too would see the call in their lives to send out those to go even beyond Uganda and into all of East Africa and the entire continent of Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask these things, and we give you honor and glory for the work you're doing. In Christ's name, amen.